This morning, I have something that I wanted to share with you. I wanted to start out with a couple of statements. Number one, God's truth is not dependent on my opinion of it. It's God's truth. Second, opportunities do not often come with labels. This morning, I'm going to be talking about faith. I'm reminded this week, every time that I go to study, of when Rachel came up a couple weeks ago and she shared with us the words of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. I'm so reminded of those things. And this morning, as I talk about faith, I want to remind you of the fact that his truth lights the way. I don't know how dark it has seemed for you lately. I don't know what things you may have been going through, but his truth will light the way. It's important that you speak life regardless of the situation. Life. Life. If it looks dark, speak light. Speak it. That is the seed of faith. He will point the way for you, and we know this. And you think about his track record up to this point, that 100% of the time, as dark as it has gotten, God has brought me through it. If you're sitting here listening to me, God has brought you through it. Sometimes you may feel a little worse for wear, but God has brought you through it. Do you have faith in him? When I was young, I remember during the 1995 Indians team, when the whole thing was going down, when it was the dream team. And I remember when Tomey would come up to the plate and Tomey would have that, the thing he would do, and he'd point the bat out over the fence. And I believed every time Tomey was going to knock it all the way out on Bolivar. I believed it. And it's funny that I can believe that about Jim Tomey, who doesn't know me, that I have no personal relationship with, but sometimes when it comes to God, my faith wavers. And this morning, when I thought about faith, I don't know why, I always have to give you a little backstory, but I was driving and I heard a song on the radio. You know, we all have our song, and the song was Faith by George Michael, and it's kind of like a speeding song for me because, man, I just get into the song and faith, the faith, the faith, and I lose myself in it, you know, and it's funny because when things like that happen, it's almost like God's whispering to me and saying, maybe that's what you need to talk about. When it comes to faith, we could stand up here on a stage and we could preach and teach about it until the Lord comes back and we wouldn't even scratch the surface. I grew up in an atmosphere of faith. My mom was saved for as long as I could remember. My dad took me to a place called Frary's, and there I experienced faith on a whole new level because at Frary's, the place has been closed for like a decade, and it looks exactly the same as it did when it was open. And you put your life into your own hands every time you went there. And so faith to me was something that I grew up in. And there's a verse in the Bible that has been on my heart, and it's Isaiah 43:2, and it says, when you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. And when we're in an atmosphere like this, we can begin to think, yes, yes, God can, yes, yes, yes. And then when we walk out those doors and Monday greets us with a vengeance, then faith begins to form. And I'm not saying it doesn't exist here. I'm saying it's awfully easy for me to shout sometimes. But when life gets thrown at me, what am I going to do in regard to what I lay hold of and call faith? As we mature in Christ, we tend to think that there's some type of confirmation that should come to us, that Christ should give us some kind of sign that he's going to do something. We should get a heads up, if you will. It's a litmus test, I guess, that the mature begin to develop. God wouldn't move without giving me prior notice. Oh, but he will. See, God does not operate like a CIA op with a situation room that goes on. God doesn't play by those rules. The warfare that my God wages does not consult with any human to see if it's okay to move in that moment. He will do the things that he's going to do. Sometimes your faith view may come from a different vantage point. It may come from a vantage point of a prayer closet where you have poured your heart out, your war room, if you will. It may come from a vantage point of a solitary car ride during heartbreak after heartbreaking news when the Holy Spirit decides to ride shotgun with you. It may come in those moments, a familiar faith moment, and we've heard it before, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts higher than your thoughts. See, when we talk about John 14:6 and we say that he's the way and he leads us in the way, it doesn't mean that he's some type of GPS that when I start thinking that I'm feeling uncomfortable, that I just pull it out of my glove compartment and I turn it on until I get back in balance again and then I put it away. Faith needs to be ever present. My dependence on God needs to be ever present. When I walk in his truth, the way is revealed. Keep walking in his truth. The devil's going to throw every single thing at you that he can. It's a crutch. It's outdated. It's disproven. Whatever word he uses to get in your head, you speak the truth. You speak it out loud. You speak it with boldness because God is the same as he was at that moment when you fell on your knees and he saved your soul. He's the same God who has directed your paths. He's the same God who has provided for you, who has blessed you, who has brought grace in situations where we didn't deserve it. Speak the truth. If your faith walk feels like a minefield at times, maybe it's a perspective issue. Have you ever felt this way? You know what I'm reminded of? I'm reminded of Princess Diana. Princess Diana, in part of her humanitarian work, would go to countries that had been war-torn, and she would see that when these armies would pull out, they would leave these mines. And the people who would just want to go about everyday life would get caught up in these minefields and maimed and killed and hurt. And so one of her goals was to remove the mines there. And in this photo, she's walking through. This is the ultimate show of faith. No longer was it about, we need to get rid of these mines. And she'd be like, yeah. She's walking through a place that the mines had been cleared, that someone told her the mines had been cleared. That is a faith walk. When we're walking through something and all the signs are there and the world would say, don't do it. Don't go there. And my God has gone before me. My God has gone before me and he has cleared the path. Do I believe that? Do I believe that? Or am I more like the mouse? Opportunities don't come with labels. Today, the thing that I wanted to share with you was, I wouldn't call it a prophecy, but there was a toy and he was called Big Mouth Billy Bass. And he sang a song and it's called Take Me to the River. Man, that thing. And I'm sure you've all had one or prayed for the batteries to go dead on it at your house or whatever. I want to talk about a river moment today. And when God leads you to the river, things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. Our walk's full of those moments that you know that wading in and going to the other side means that everything will change, that you won't come back. See, in the Bible, it talks about the Jordan River, and the Jordan River was a place of decision. It was a place where Lot and Abraham stood on those banks, and Lot made his choice of the land. He got to pick first, and he chose the land that was towards Sodom. See, it's a place of obedience. It's a place where Moses sat on a mountainside looking over that Jordan at a land that he would not be allowed to enter because he lacked the obedience at a key time. Place of obedience. It's a place where a man named Naaman was told by people who were sent out to him by the prophet to go dip in a muddy river 7 times to cure his leprosy. Naaman, a commander of the armies of Syria. Fear and pride will say, don't do it. Whatever God's telling you to do, fear and pride will say, don't do it. Doubt will tell you if you're Naaman to stop on three dips, because everyone's standing on the banks and looking at you, and look what a fool you look like right now. Faith is going to stand on the other side, and it's going to be counting them off. That's one, go down again. That's two, go down again. That's three, go down again. Faith is going to be there on that sideline cheering. Who are you going to listen to in that muddy water? Are you sick of the things that have burdened you, that we've accepted, that we've gotten comfortable with, that we're beyond getting in that muddy water of freedom? See, every day Naaman probably went back to a palatial house, because being a commander, he was probably rewarded richly. But do you know what? When he sat on the finest couch, when he sat in the finest chairs of the time, he still had leprosy. He had to come to a point where he was ready to step away from that. And when he did, it didn't look the way that he thought it was going to look. That verse, when you go through deep waters, I'm going to be with you. See, in our mind, we can make it up to be, I'm going to be on a Royal Caribbean cruise line in those deep waters. I'm going to be on the Lido deck with the free pizza. But the truth is, you may be going face down in a muddy stream while everyone stands around watching, but your God is still with you. Your God is still with you, and he's there. See, the children of Israel, they stood on those very riverbanks. And when they stood there, they looked over at a promised land that God said he would give them, but they did not yet know how it was going to happen. It's a place of presence. It's a place when they stood there and couldn't cross, the ark of God was brought and the waters ceased flowing. It's a place of presence. You can't go forward in faith unless you're willing to step on the bank. It's a strategic site that's mentioned many times in the Bible, a place of strategy. When God brought them there and the armies were there, something was about to go down. When Gideon had his army of 300 men who wanted to carry trumpets and torches, they chased the other people, the Midianites, the bad guys, if you will, all the way to the banks of the Jordan. It was a place where things went down, where things would not be the same again. Geographically speaking, we are nowhere near the Jordan River. Just to let you know, if you want to go there, it is 5,932 miles like north, that way. There are going to be times when you have those river moments in God. You've had them, and so have I. There have been times that I have failed in my river moments. There have been times that my doubt was bigger than my faith in those moments. There have been times that the devil's capitalized on that and beat me up, or watched as I beat myself up during those times. But see, I'm reminded of those flash floods that come around every so often. You know the ones you see on the news where underpasses become these deep pools that cars get stuck in because the people are thinking, wait, there wasn't 6 feet of water here. God will send those moments along, and he's going to send them in your life. There are times coming when God's going to send the river to you. See, river moments are those intersections where faith demands action. And when it comes to true faith is going to demand a change of your perspective. It may not be that God has changed, because he never changes. It may be that your perspective has changed. It may be that God positions you in a place where you see him differently. True faith is going to remind you of who he is and who you are. When you get in those moments, you're going to be reminded of the greatness of God. You're going to feel it. I don't know. For me, sometimes it's the, ooh. You ever do that? When God gets in a room, the. I did that the other day somewhere when I just had one of those God moments. And people just looked at me like I was crazy. And so there's people out there, I'm sure, at Wendy's that think I'm crazy. But it was a God moment. When you come to those moments, you're going to know who he is. He's not the break glass in case of emergency plan. He's not my buddy. He's the living word. He was clothed in flesh. He suffered and died for my sins. When it comes to true faith, it doesn't follow formal patterns that man has created. See, I love the prayer time up here. I love altar time, but there's times that it needs to go down somewhere else. There's something that blesses me. I'm part of this crew that text will go out every once in a while, and someone in this crew will say, I need you to pray right now. I need you to pray right now. I need you to agree right now. And it's one of the things that blesses me the most, because it's someone letting their guard down, letting faith in, and letting other people be a part of the agreeing, so that we can come together, so we can hold one another up, so we don't walk in and say, I'm perfect. Are you perfect? Yeah, you're perfect. We're perfect. That gets old. Faith gets real. Faith gets real. Sometimes the faith journey, the faith walk, is there for the ripple effect. It's there for the ripple effect. Not every river moment will happen on dry land. There is a story in Luke 7, and it's about a centurion. And this centurion had a servant whom he loved. That servant was sick to the point of death. This centurion, obviously the etymology here, he was a leader of 100 men. He's a person who, no doubt, in his daily grind, had killed. He had seen men die. He understood warfare. He understood that formality in warfare would limit your scale of victory. He understood that if you want victory, you do what works. He's what we may call an outlier. He's a person who was not considered a believer, but he was one who had respect for this God. Luke referred to these type of people as God-fearers. According to the writer Josephus, a man like this would use his means to help those in the community by doing humanitarian things. In this case, this centurion had helped build a synagogue. So he was someone who was an outlier. He wasn't in yet, but he had respect for this kind of thing. See, he wasn't like the self-proclaimed hardcore atheist who hangs out at the water cooler just wanting to argue with you every Monday morning. He wasn't that guy, but the majority of people that you come into contact with are this guy. They're this guy. They're curious. They want to know. They go through life problems, and they're wondering if you're going to have the boldness to bring up this Jesus that we lay so much faith in during their time of struggle. Are you going to be willing to step out there, or are you going to be like, I will pray for you? And then later, I will pray for you. And I'm not putting that down, but I'm saying that is like, how many people a day do we say, how you doing? Fine. I mean, are we really asking like a medical doctor, how are you doing? Or is it just something we do? When we say, I'll pray for you, is it something that we're really like doing? The people that we're talking about here are kind of the bonds within your circle of friendship. You know, the bonds. The ones who have been stirred by your words, but not yet shaken by who God is. They're the ones in John 17 that Jesus says have been entrusted to us, have been given to us. They're the ones when Dina in her life group talks about the heart drops, the ones who say things around us, and we need to step in, and we need to do things. And so as this man is doing his daily, his servant gets sick and can't be healed. By everything that's been tried so far, it looks like, but he hears about this Jesus. Desperation will reset the stage. When people go through desperate times, that's when they're going to reach out. Are we reaching back? Are we reaching back with that? See, desperation, it's kind of like when it comes to faith, it takes the cake that we've made out of our faith and it undoes it to the point where it's back to the eggs and the flour. It takes it to its base things, and you get to see what people are made of. When someone comes to you, here's the elders, and the centurion comes to the elders, and the elders go to Jesus, and the elders begin, in a sense, pleading this man's case. He's a good man. You should help him out, Jesus. He's done this. He's done this. He's done this. And Jesus, it says, went along with them. Now, when Jesus went along, he didn't go along because of all the good things that the centurion had done. Little did the elders know that Jesus was going along because of faith. He sensed faith. This centurion wouldn't even approach the Lord. See, he said, come to my house. Come here. Heal this guy. Jesus is on his way to the guy's house. And as he gets closer, what I said before about faith, it will remind you of who he is and who you are. As he gets closer, the centurion sends people out. Don't come in my house, God. You don't need to come in my house. It wasn't a feeling of unworthiness. It was simply the gravity of who God is. God, you come in this house, you mess things up. God, you go into houses and roofs get torn off. God, you go into houses and things go down. The centurion at this point said something that amazed Jesus. Say the word. Say the word. At that point in our faith walk, where Jesus says the word, everything changes. Every single thing changes. And as the people start to head back, as Jesus is staring in amazement at the amount of faith that has been shown, that he tells everyone else, this amount of faith hasn't even been displayed in all of Israel. They go home and they find the servant well. When it comes to your faith walk, it is my firm belief that my faith lives and breathes in between the moment of my declaration and the moment that faith becomes sight in God. It is my firm belief that I can talk all day, but it's in those dark periods that I go through. Am I going to hold it down? Am I going to still believe in that God when I thought it was dark and it gets a little bit darker? Or am I going to backpedal? My faith lives and breathes in those moments. See, my faith lives and breathes when we talk about the story of Gideon. It's one thing. It's one thing to whittle your army down because God spoke to you. It's a whole different feeling, I bet, when you're in the dark with a trumpet and a torch about to march into the middle of the enemy's camp and fight them. That's the faith was on that downhill walk. The faith was on that downhill walk. It's like the children of Israel when they had been freed from Egypt, you know, and the people are just throwing gold at them. Get out of here. And you're wearing your bangle bracelet. And you're like, yes, party. And then you come to the banks of the sea. That's where faith lives and breathes, between that moment of what we know to be true and seeing God begin to do those things and opening our mouth about those things and in times of desperation, stepping into those things. See, as Jesus draws near, everything changes. Everything changes. This old house changes. Everything about me changes. Say the word, God. Say the word, God. Do you see him? Do you see him in it? If it's a Jericho situation, and as you're walking around that city and you look up and the shadow of the walls, wow, those are big walls. Can you say, I see you past these walls? I see you on the other side of this. What you said you would do, you're going to do. We're all going to have those intersection moments. We're all going to be led to the river, or the river will be led to us at times. What will we do with those moments? What will we do with those moments? My challenge to you is this. Whatever weighs on your heart the heaviest, and you know what it is, your 3 o'clock wake up thought, the thing that just hits you, grips you, whatever that is, put it into a perspective where he says the word. And you, in faith, let go of it. That centurion was not a doctor. That centurion was not a psychologist. He couldn't think his way out of that situation. He couldn't operate his way out of that situation. But he did what worked when it came to the battle. I'm going to pray in a minute. And when I do, whatever that thing is, and you know, it's funny because we work with teens sometimes, and when I share kind of my random God thoughts, they'll just look at me like, what? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm the only one that ever thought that. As a Christian, we carry burdens sometimes. I serve a God who wants me to throw those on him. Pick that thing. Whatever has been wrapped in discouragement, whatever calls your name in the middle of the night, pick it. And in a moment, just whisper it. Say the word. Say the word. As we pray, you whisper it out. Say the word. Let's pray. God, right now I come before you. And Lord, I wish that I was batting 1,000 on my river moments. But I know that you do not change. God, I know that our faith builds that bridge, Lord. I know that my faith in action as it lives and breathes are in very moments like this. And Lord, the things that are weighing on people who look to you, God, I pray that you would be in that moment, that you would be walking toward the house, God. I pray that their hearts would take comfort in the fact that all you have to do is say the word. Whatever it is that is coming against them, whatever it is, Lord, that we look at and think those walls are high, speak peace, Lord. Speak peace. And Lord, I pray right now in the body of believers that we're in, that this week would be a week of liberation, that this week would be a week, God, where we don't keep our mouths shut, that this week, Lord, would be new. I pray it in your name. Amen.